All right. Thank you, Leah. What we need is Christians to speak up and identify the Lord as a Savior. Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. I've chosen a story out of the Old Testament to start and to make application from this morning. I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. I'll have to condense the story a little bit and make some application from it. And I'm going to give a title to what I'm going to say for the tape room up there. I'm going to call it a bad word. How many of you had a little sister or an older sister said, you said a bad word? Remember that? Tattled on you? Remember that? Or maybe it was the opposite. But I want to talk to you about a bad word. You'll pick it out here in the text. I've got to read a number of verses just to get the story in. My subject is in the news. And you'll pick it up here. I'm going to cough at you some this morning. My wife's still out sick and coughing. And I just am glad I can be here. Amen. I'll probably cough at you some. Just forgive me. My subject here, you'll find it in the story. And it's in the news. My subject of the bad word is the lie. The Bible has a lot to say about lying, has a lot to say about liars. In fact, you get to the last book of the Bible and the Lord kind of lets you lift the lid and look in hell a little bit, and it says, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." That's not too pleasant a message, but there it is. God takes lying pretty seriously. In fact, it's one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not bear a false witness." And so we see it in a day and time when it's traded commercially. And especially in this political season, you don't know who's doing what, saying what, how much you can trust, but God still takes it serious. We'll find it here in our story in 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam," that's the king, "stood by the altar to burn incense. And he," the man of God, "cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child should be born in the house of David, Josiah by name." And by the way, if you want to study your Bible, that's a really interesting follow-up on that prophecy. "And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high place that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, and saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the preacher, of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored unto me." That's the way it works, isn't it? Yeah, I'll blaspheme God till he gets me, and then I'll beg him to give it back. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored unto him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I'll give thee a bribe, a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. And there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread or drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Watch this, folks. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, and he may eat bread and drink water. Look at the last five words. But he lied unto him. He lied unto him. To me, this is a sad story because it deals with an old prophet that's gone bad and deceived the good one that was obeying the Lord. And it's a sad kind of thing. But this business of lying is in the news everywhere we turn. And here's a story, political story from Israel's history. And here's where they were doing wrong, and God sends a man of God to warn them, and yet the man of God himself gets tripped up. If you were to read the rest of the story, you'll find out that when he went home with the old false prophet that lied to him, suddenly the false prophet himself speaks the word of God to him and says, hey, you shouldn't have done it. He gets up and leaves, but a lion is waiting for him and slays him. And it's a supernatural act because the lion stands beside the body of the man and doesn't eat it, and the donkey stands beside the lion, and that would not happen. And God was saying to all that passed by, I did this. This is unusual. This is something special. And the story here is in Israel's background. King David, the little boy that started out and slew the giant with a slingshot, He was used of God to build the great kingdom of Israel. But David got old and he passed on, and his son Solomon took the presidency, if you please, the throne of Israel. And God had made David a promise it'd be a time of peace under his son Solomon. And God gave that time of peace. But then Solomon's time was up. And there was two boys that vied for Solomon's seat. One of them was named Rehoboam, and one of them was named Jeroboam. And you remember how the kingdom split. And Rehoboam kind of kept Solomon's place, but Jeroboam took a big part of Israel, and there was a great division. What you have in our story by the time you get to it is you have King Jeroboam realizing that back here where Jerusalem is, back here where the temple is, back here where the true worship is going on, sooner or later this bunch that split off with me, they're going to want to go home for homecoming. They're going to want to go home for worship. They're going to go back to the temple. So I better do something. So Jeroboam decides he'll make them some false gods to keep them over here. So he builds an altar, and he builds two calves. Now remember the golden calf that got the Israelites in trouble when they left Egypt? Remember how Aaron got in trouble while Moses was up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments? Well, what you have here is you have a resurrection, so to speak, of Jeroboam the king saying, okay, I'm going to give them some false gods over here, keep them from going back home to Jerusalem. And so that was his plan. And God sent a preacher, a prophet, a man of God to show him God was not pleased with what he was trying to do. And the king tried to grab the preacher, but his hand withered, and the man of God gave it back to him. And yet God was showing his displeasure. I want to make some application from the story today. I want to say to begin with, we see the foundations of the faith here being shook as we see a king trying to substitute false gods for the true God. Israel gods was not the golden calf. It was the Lord God, Jehovah. They knew that. Isn't it amazing, though, how a population can sway? Is it amazing how the king, because the king said it, we're going to do it, because he said, let's worship over here and not go back to Jerusalem. Instead of the Lord God Jehovah in his temple, we're going to worship the golden calf. It is amazing how fickle the population is to follow poor leadership sometime, isn't it? in America today, I look around and I can't believe a full-blood socialist is running for president. Do you understand what socialism is? It's one inch from communism. Do you know in Russia they don't call themselves communists, they call themselves socialists. Isn't it the Soviet Union that we talk about? Sure it is. And yet we got that today. You say, what would that mean to me? It would mean if you're earning your way, about 90% of it would be taken from the government and shared with everybody else. That's what it means. And yet we've got that going today, and we see that in America, and it's amazing. I made a trip to Russia, two trips, in fact. One of the things that caught my eye, other than the underground church, which was a lot like us, but above ground, the street, the citizens, one of the things that caught my eye quickly over there in Moscow was how the people acted like zombies. No life, no spirit. And you see work crews out on the streets standing on their shovels. You see them leaning on the buildings and just standing around smoking. And I talked to some of them and I'd say, what's going on? These buildings need repair. The potholes in the street, nobody's working. They're just standing around. What's going on? And they said this to me, preacher, over here, we all get paid the same. And they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. So help me God, that's what they said to me. You want that in America? Well, this coming election is going to have it on the books. You may get a choice. Amen? We're losing our work ethic in our country today, and that's really, really, really pair. I can't hardly imagine. You know what? Today, instead of somebody being proud of earning their own way, they're proud if they can outslick you, if they can con you, if they can be clever, if they can steal your numbers. Then they're proud of that business instead of being proud that I went out and paid my own way and earned my own way. And the work ethic that built this country is gone, folks. You and I know that as we look around and see all this business going on today. Today we're in a big debate in the country of how much freedom we want to surrender to believe we're secure. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. But you know what's happening? We're seeing something worse than that. We're seeing our nation's God being perverted. Just like Jeroboam did right here. He said, okay, here's your gods, here's your golden calves. And he was trying to replace the Lord God himself. We're in a day and time today, it don't matter what your eyes see, what you hear, what you know to be true, you're supposed to believe what the leadership tells you. And our president made his appearance at the big mosque in Baltimore this week. See that on the news? He got up in the mosque and said, we owe a lot to the Muslims for protecting us. That's what he said. That's a dead quote. Protecting us. They protect us by being our firemen. They protect us by being our policemen. They protect us by working for Homeland Security. That's a comfort, isn't it? So that's it. That was on the newscast. Listen, folks, that is ridiculous. That's replacing the Lord God Jehovah with the moon god Allah and trying to replace Christianity with Islam. That's what's going on today. And no more did Jeroboam do it than what we're seeing happening in America. And if God didn't like it in Jeroboam's day, he don't like it in our day either. If he judged it in Jeroboam's day, he'll judge it in our day today. No doubt about it in my mind. It is happening. Oh, you say, but we're going to finally have our first woman president. Well, me personally, I hope not. But I read in the Bible, and by the way, where is it written that we've got to have a woman for president? No, it's not written. Sorry, ladies, it's not. You say she could be a good one? She could be. Margaret Thatcher was pretty good in England. Sure. But when you see what somebody stands for, are they trustworthy? Do they tell the truth? How about when she got out of the helicopter on the pavement of Bosnia and ducked the bullets? And even the news media said that didn't happen. How about when she said she was named after Edmund Hillary, the great English explorer that first reached the peak of Mount Everest? Edmund Hillary. She said she was named after him. The trouble was, she was 6 years old when he done that. Truth. Boy, truth is such a stranger in the land today, isn't it? Just whatever they say is okay. No, it ought to be measured by, is it right, is it wrong, is it true, or is it a lie? You say, that's politics. No, that's dealing with God's side of the thing. Truth or error. I make this application for Miss Story and see a king trying to change the gods of the nation of Israel. It didn't work. It didn't work. I read in Isaiah chapter 3 where God is condemning Israel for their wimpiness, condemning Israel for calling good evil and evil good. And I read over in chapter 3 of Isaiah about verse 12 where God makes this statement. He said, I'll make women to rule over you and babies to rule over you. You say, boy, you a male chauvinist. No, I'm just a Bible believer. And I see where God stands on some things, and I'm not ashamed to side with him. Amen? No, look around. God said over there in that third chapter, your leaders. Listen to him. That's what he said. Check it out. Go home instead of turning on the TV. Read Isaiah chapter 3. And you'll find over there where he said, they that lead thee cause thee to err. Listen. We're supposed to be sheep following the Lord, but we're not supposed to be dummies following just every politician and whatever he says or she says. Amen. No, sir. This word here, the lie. This old crooked prophet, this old boy lied to the good man, and he caused him to disobey God and caused God's judgment to fall on him. He lied to him. And I look around today and I see the danger of our foundations falling for a lie in America. And I see our families being destroyed because of a lie in our country. Do you know in the old days our kids were precious? We protected them. We boys that grew up in my day and time, it was a big deal when you got to date a daddy's daughter. You did it carefully. You did it with fear and trembling. You did it with wisdom. And bless God, you better be careful, because men protected their daughters. We've come to a day and time where it's no big deal at all. It's amazing. It's amazing how kids are unprotected today. See the picture up here on my left? That's the old original hotel in town, built around 1925-7. Let me tell you why that building was built. It was built to house young ladies that came from Alabama, Georgia, down here, was housed in that building to work at the citrus plant up on top of the hill. So they were brought in as laborers to work in the citrus plant. That's why the building was built. I know the history of it. I had to rebuild it. I ought to find out the history of it. Let me tell you something about it. We dug out of the cellar of that building papers that had written rules how those girls had to conduct themselves. That was their dorm. That's where they ate. That's where they slept. And down in the lobby, under certain conditions, with permission and with chaperones, those young ladies could have a gentleman call on them and sit in that public lobby and talk under the eyes of chaperones. Say, when was that? Late 20s, 30s, 40s. Our college has some rules concerning dating and our girls and so forth, and they're strict, but they're not as strict as the world had back then. You hear what I said? What has happened now is the big one-eyed monster has entered our living room, and he's entered through the handheld gadgets. He's entered through Hollywood. He's entered through a secular society that's brainwashed and lied, and my subject is the lie, lied to our young folks to think that everybody has a right to be rich, everybody should be able to be immoral, Everybody should be able to grab all they want to, and nobody should tell them there's a right and wrong. No wonder we're in the mess we're in our world, because we're a mess in our families today, because the lie has moved in. TV fantasy. Schools outlawing God. I saw in the news this week, probably you did too, where they want to have a Charles Darwin holiday in the public schools. Charles Darwin is the one that's given credit for bringing in evolution, teaching our kids they came from monkeys. No wonder they act like monkeys. Amen. Gonna have a holiday to Charles Darwin? What a joke. That's what they're talking about. I read in the paper this week where a 13-year-old slips out the window, joins some others, and winds up getting murdered. You know what? Kids like that are being brainwashed way before their time that they have a right to go out and do everything mom and dad has told them they shouldn't do. They got to catch up with the society and the culture that they live in today. That's a terrible thing. Our families are reaping for this thing because they're believing the lie right out of the pit of hell, the lie of Satan. I move on to say the lie does its greatest damage in the future. So what do you mean? Well, I read the rest of the story. Didn't have time to read it to you. But the rest of the story was that this good man of God believed the lie of the bad one. And he was in the wrong place, disobeying God. And remember what the old prophet said to him? He said, an angel spoke to me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, the apostle Paul says, even if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Isn't that amazing? Listen, everything that says I'm from God's not from God. Every messenger that claims to be a messenger of God is not necessarily so. And all that you hear today with the put down everywhere you look of Christianity and the attack on true Christianity, you better watch out for it. It's the lie coming out of the pit and deceiving people, and the greatest deception is going to be in their future. Kids that grow up and believe the lie of the world today, some of them may come back after they get older, and some of them may not ever get older. And if they do, they'll be scarred from one end to the other, and never be what they could have been had they stayed true and right with the Lord. The lie is a dangerous thing. It began in the Garden of Eden, caused sin to enter. All the suffering, all the death, all that you'd name is wrong in this world started with a lie when Satan showed up in the garden and lied to Mother Eve and Adam in the garden. That's where it began. You still see it today. Here's one of the lies the devil tells you today. He says, well, there may be a great master somewhere. There may be a great architect of the universe somewhere. There may be a first call somewhere, but he really don't care what you do. That's the lie of hell. You may hear him say, well, everybody else is doing it. Young people, don't ever say that to your parents. Everybody else is doing it. No, everybody else isn't. No, they're not. That's a lie to get you to do wrong. The Bible says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. The majority is quite often wrong. Quite often wrong. Be careful. What does God say about it? How do I measure up by what God thinks about it? God does care. He made you. He keeps you breathing. He keeps you going. He's got a plan for you. He does care. Don't believe the devil's lie that he don't care. But that's what the devil will tell you. He'll say he don't care, and then you'll hear him say this. Well, all religion's okay. Somebody called in and said, I got respect for all religion, but that don't get you anywhere. Not with God. God is a separatist, whether you like it or not. He said, my son is the only way, not one of many ways. But John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what God says. That's what Jesus says. He said, but all roads lead to the same place. You ain't lived long, but you ain't lived long if you think that. They don't all lead to the same place. You can surely be deceived. In this story, they didn't lead all to the same place. In this story I read you, God told the man of God, go back a different way. And he started back a different way. He was obeying the Lord until the lie got in and tripped him up and messed him up. Satan is still using that big lie to mislead people today, to get them to trust some other way. It don't matter if it's the king. It don't matter if it's the president. It don't matter if it's the school teacher. It don't matter if it's some preacher. You better choose what God said about it. Take his word over anybody else's, amen? One of the lies the devil loves to tell is, well, yeah, you probably ought to get saved someday. You probably ought to believe on Jesus later, but right now have your fun. You got plenty of time. Just got plenty of time. That one lie is causing more folks to die lost and face God in judgment, in rejection of his son, than probably any other lie the devil tells. Some of you listening to me right now, Radio Land or here in the building, you're saying the preacher's right, one day I'm gonna get right. I remember a man in this town, he's dead now, but I remember several years, year in and year out, every time somebody would say something to him about getting right with God, he'd say, yeah, I hear Mickey on the radio every now and then. And he'd known me since I was a kid. He said, I hear Mickey on the radio every now and then, and one day I'm going to go down there and let him save me. There's something wrong with that. I can't save nobody. The other thing wrong with it is he thought he had plenty of time. One day never came. One day never came. There was another day that came ahead of it. That was his call to face God. You see, the lie is a very dangerous thing. And the devil is the master of it. Jesus said he was. Jesus said he was. He was called Satan a liar. He's still lying. People are still listening. He's still deceiving. Big lie, plenty of time. A man told a story once, and probably it was just a dream, but it made some real sense. He said, I dreamed that I was continually saying to those that loved me and wanted me to be saved and come to Jesus and believe on him, get my sins forgiven. He said, I continued to say to them, I've got plenty of time. But he said, I had a dream one night. He said, it seemed so real. He said, I dreamed I was able to look in, as it were, into the very cavern of hell. And he said, I saw the devils all having a meeting, an assembly, and they were talking. And he said, I heard what the meeting was about. The meeting was about who will go to earth and what will you tell them to keep them lost. And he said, one devil jumped up and said, I know what I'll do. I'll tell them the Bible is not the word of God. And he said, the big devil himself said, no, that won't work. It's proved itself too many times. They won't believe that. Another one jumped up and he said, I'll tell them that hell and heaven is not real. And he said, the big devil listened to him and said, no, that won't work. He said, cause in man's heart, he knows there's something out there waiting on him. He said, that won't work. Another one jumped up and said, I know what, I'll tell him just be good and everything will be all right. And he said, the big devil said, no, in a man's heart, he knows he's not good enough. No matter how he tries, he knows it won't work. He said, finally, little old devil jumped up and hollered, I've got it. I know what'll work. And he said to Satan, I'll go to earth and I'll tell them the Bible is the word of God. I'll tell them there is a heaven and there is a hell. I'll even tell them they can't be good enough to make it by themselves. But said, then I'll tell them You need to get saved, but just later. Just put it off. You got plenty of time. Plenty of time. He said the big devil stood up. And he said, that'll work. That'll work. You go back to earth and you tell them they got plenty of time. This man that told the story that had the dream said, it shocked me into the fact that's exactly what I was doing. I was saying, I just want to have my fling a little longer and I'll get saved. I'm not ready to repent yet. I will later on. But he said, after that dream, I saw what a fool I was being. Now, while that was probably just a human dream, the truth of it is very real. It's very, very real. You know what this Bible says about it? This Bible says, behold. That means stop, look. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Now is the accepted time. God never says tomorrow. He says now. Now. Now this morning in Landmark Baptist Church, at the end of a message, I invite you to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ now. Receive Him now. I can't say to you, you've got plenty of time. I can't say to you, you've even got another sermon to hear. I can't say to you because I have no promise of tomorrow, and neither do you. We don't know what another day will bring forth. Now is the accepted time. Have you received the Lord Jesus? I invite you to come. Young person, the world's trying to steal you away from God, giving you a substitute calf instead of the real God. You ought to come receive the Lord Jesus that loved you and died for you. Let Him be your Savior and then live for Him, and you'll have the best life in this world and, of course, the best life in the world to come. Mom, Dad, that's true for you. Granddad, true for everybody. Do you know Him? Don't believe the lie. Jesus is the truth, and He calls for you to come. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, there's some people in the building, in radio land. I hope they'll wake up. That is the devil that's lying to them. He's the one saying, you've got plenty of time. He's the one saying, put off Jesus. You've heard about Him. You know He loved you. You know He died for you, paid for your sins, and offers you the gift of eternal life. But don't take it right now. You can have it later. Don't get saved now, but maybe next week or next year. Lord, I pray for souls that have heard what you led your preacher to say this morning, to warn about the lie. I pray you'd help them, Lord, to come to Christ even today in this building, or bow their knee in the living room, or stop the car side the road and say, Lord Jesus, I'll not trust waiting. I want to receive you. I believe on you right now. Save me, I pray. I pray that would happen.